We now bring to these microphones David James. He's in Africa, Uganda, Africa. He's there teaching at the Word of Life Bible Institute. But you can run, but you can't hide, David. And no matter where you may go in this world, we're going to find you for our conversation, a weekly part of the Prophecy Today program, where we discuss issues that the body of Christ need to have a biblical understanding of. And we're going to be talking about one today. First, David, talk to me about what you're doing there in Uganda. I understand you're teaching about the charismatic movement, the history of it, what's going on today, and what the future looks like as well. Is that what is happening there in Uganda?
Yes, Jimmy, that's exactly right. We just finished up the course today, had a tremendous response from both the staff and the students. The director had the entire staff sit in on the class because it was one of the first courses that a guest teacher had taught. And plus, the issue is really a huge issue throughout Africa. Last week, I taught God's Plan Through the Ages, and so I'll be heading back to the States about midnight, leaving here about midnight tomorrow night.
Well, have a safe journey as you do come back. Looking forward to having you back in the States. I bet that's an interesting experience. This is the first time for you to be in Uganda, wasn't it?
Yes, my first time in Uganda and actually my first time in Africa. And the Lord's been very gracious and they've invited me to come back next year. And I may have a couple weeks here and then may go down to Word of Life Kenya to help out for a week there as well.
That'll be a great ministry, I'm sure. And we're so proud that you can get around this world of ours and teach some very important subjects to young people as they face the future. Should the Lord tarry his rapture, we need to prepare this next generation for what's going to be happening. Well, a teaching common in the charismatic circles that we haven't discussed on earlier programs would be the kingdom now or dominion theology. You sent me an article this week by a well-known charismatic leader. Briefly explain for those eavesdropping on the conversation, what is dominion or kingdom now theology?
The article appeared in Charisma magazine. It was by a very well-known leader, Dutch Sheets. And dominion theology or kingdom now theology is based on Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, where God says that man will have dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and he's to rule over the earth and subdue it. And they take that to mean that mankind's responsibility is to take dominion over every realm of life, whether it be the business, world media, institutions, government, education, family, everything, and in some cases even bring back into effect Mosaic law and have Mosaic law be the law of the land in individual communities, in countries, and in ultimately the world.
Well, this is a very important subject that I think that is key that we be able to discuss it today. How widespread is dominion theology in the church today, and is it found only within the charismatic movement?
Well, it seems to me that it's becoming broader as each year goes by. It's an interesting marriage of a couple unlikely groups, and that would be a Christian Reconstructionism, which is primarily a hyper-Calvinistic group, and the other side would be a charismatic Word Faith, New Apostolic Reformation groups, and it seems to be a touch point in agreement on this dominion mandate. But the other thing is that we've been witnessing in the last few years is that far right or conservative, let's just say conservative politicians, have noticed this and realized that among their evangelical support base that this idea of recovering a Christian America, Christian nationalism, is ringing true in their constituencies. And so now some of them are playing right into that as well, and now there's becoming a marriage of Christian conservatism along with this dominion theology, and it's becoming more prevalent.
Yes, indeed. The political arena has entered into the church and this kingdom now or dominion theology type of operation. But David, as I travel across the world, I've made observation in some of the areas of kingdom now, dominion theology. Through the conservative evangelical churches, it's coming in through their music. That's very concerning to me.
Well, you know it is, and I didn't even realize it early on. One of the first examples of that would be the song Majesty by Jack Hayford at Church on the Way in California, and it talks about kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own. And so that was one of the earliest examples, and now to be honest, some of the best music in terms from a musical perspective, but some of the worst music from a words perspective and theology perspective has come out of the Vineyard movement, has come out of Hillsong, for example, both of which would maintain a dominion theology. And so as the music becomes a part of our everyday thinking, our worship in our churches, music is a powerful medium for having a message, which is why some of the old hymns are still some of the best, because they have such great, rich theology.
Well, that is the case, and I think some of these music guys who lead the so-called worship services in many churches, especially the mega churches, had better go back and study God's Word. 500 different times found in the Scripture, there's information about music. It plays a key role, as you said, but it's for the purpose of gathering the mundane things of the world, filling our minds today when we come into church, bring them back to focus on what's going to be taught, and that's the prophetic word of God, and not only prophecy, but I mean the entire Bible. And Bible teaches doctrine. It's not music that teaches doctrine. But talk to me about the article that you sent me just a bit. The author's opening paragraph should cause anyone reading it to immediately have concerns because of his mishandling of the Scriptures. What are your thoughts?
Well, he starts out the article with the paragraph where he mentions that 15 years ago, God gave him a verse. That's always a red flag should go up when somebody says that. In this case, it was Isaiah 22:22, which was in the context of Israel facing the onslaught of the Assyrian army because God was bringing judgment. And he says this, the verse says, and he used this as his life verse, "The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, then he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open." Well, this is specifically related to the kingdom and the throne of David and what God is doing to bring another man into power because of the one that's currently there being judged. For someone to try to apply that to a kingdom, dominion theology, and he uses this to go, has used it to go into the halls of Washington, D.C., to be in all 50 states involved with political movements, and he believes that God has laid this charge upon him, and somehow he's applying this directly. And it's just one of the most egregious examples of not only misapplying, but misunderstanding and mishandling the Word of God that I've seen for a while.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. You know, in the next section of the article, David, he completely distorts the intended meaning of Matthew 16, which you just mentioned a moment ago, where Jesus talks about building his church.
That's exactly right. Again, when Peter confesses that he recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus says that this hasn't been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father who is in heaven. And he says, so the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. And so it has to do with the fact that to carry out the mandate, which is to go into all nations and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and absolutely not to take over governments and institutions and media and all these things and try to bring them under a dominion that is actually not our dominion to take. It's one which Christ will take when he returns, as we read in Revelation 19, as he comes to the earth to establish his kingdom.
David, let's bring this back around to the Scriptures. Do they teach dominion or kingdom theology? For example, are believers called by God to infiltrate and take over governments, educational institutions, society, etc.?
Well, I think one of the most surprising things we read in the New Testament is the attitude of Jesus toward government. And that was, he functioned within the constraints of the governments that God had put in place, because he recognized, as Paul said, that governments are put into place by God, and we are to be faithful citizens, to be loyal citizens. Of course, there are abuses in governments, but at the same time, Jesus did not try to overthrow the Roman occupation of Jerusalem and Judea at that time. And in fact, when he's asked about taxes, he says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." Paul, rather than going against the government, even no matter how corrupt it was, he was teaching that believers need to carry out their lives with a good testimony and work to bring people to Christ, and that is how we affect change. It happens at the heart level, not at institutional or government levels.
David, a key component, of course, of Kingdom Now theology is postmillennialism. Briefly explain that to us.
Postmillennialism is the idea that the church itself will bring in a golden age or the millennial reign on the earth, not with Christ ruling on the earth, but with the church establishing the kingdom. And then once the church has established the kingdom and brought all of the world to, or at least a majority of the world, to faith in Christ and established God's rule throughout the earth, then we hand that over to the Lord, which is exactly the opposite of anything we see in the Scriptures.
Yes, and when we go to the Scriptures, I've got to lay this out on you, and I want to see what your opinion is. Here's what I believe. Bottom line is that it is not the responsibility of believers, the body of Christ, the church, to establish the kingdom here on earth through fulfilling a supposed dominion mandate. Would you agree with that?
I would agree 100%. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I think we talked about the idea. We used the illustration of pick any kingdom on the earth, and you'll never have a queen, which is the church's role in the kingdom. We are the bride of Christ, functioning as the queen in the kingdom alongside Christ. No kingdom is ever established by a queen, and then she hands it over to the king so he can just take the throne. No, every kingdom is established by the king, and he brings his bride alongside him to rule with him over the kingdom.
I've got to confess to you, David, I stole that thought from you. That was a great thought when you said it the first time. I said, man, that works for me. And I've been teaching the book of Matthew here at Word of Life Florida, the Bible conference for many of the snowbirds and the people who live here in the Hudson, Florida area. Had a great time teaching Matthew because he's presenting the kingdom. I believe it's probably a manifesto for the kingdom from Matthew himself. And I use that phrase that, look, there never is a queen who builds the kingdom and then gives it to the king. I like that. Thank you for your thinking on that. And thank you for all your research on dominion theology, Kingdom Now philosophy. This is a very important subject. I appreciate you bringing it to my attention. And we'll have another subject next time we get together once you arrive back in the States.
Always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next week.